Hello, and welcome to Feedback with Earbuds, a podcast recommendation podcast. I'm your host, Arielle Nissenblatt, and I'm the founder of Earbuds Podcast Collective. Earbuds is a weekly email newsletter that sends you a themed list of five podcast episodes, and each week is curated by a different person. Anyone can curate a list. Learn more and subscribe to the newsletter at earbudspodcastcollective.org. On this podcast, we'll follow the format of our newsletter. You'll learn about the curator of the week, their chosen theme, and the five episodes that they've selected as part of that theme. We'll also have some more podcast-related stuff thrown in here and there. Hopefully, you'll find a new podcast or two to check out. So, let's get into it. What are we listening to this week? Before we get started with today's show, we want to tell you about our episode sponsor, The Art of Manliness. If you're sick of having to wade through 2 hours of fluff in order to get a few good takeaways, tune into the Art of Manliness podcast. Their goal is to help men become better husbands, fathers, and just all-around solid dudes. And I'm sure women and non-binary folks can learn a thing or two from this podcast as well. Their episodes glean and distill the very best insights from the world's experts in self-improvement, philosophy, practical skills, history, and more. You'll walk away with actionable insights that you can start implementing today to improve your life. Listen to The Art of Manliness wherever you get your podcasts. And thank you to The Art of Manliness for sponsoring this week's episode of Feedback with Earbuds and our newsletter. Our podcast recommendations this week come to us from Robert Cobold, a philosopher, educator, and founding editor of Conscious Evolution, an online publication and podcast aiming to disseminate the evolutionary worldview and kindle an evolutionary transition. After we tell you about this week's podcast picks from Robert, we'll share an interview that I recorded with Maya Rose Craig. It's been a minute since I've shared interviews on this show. I was out for a few weeks due to a broken elbow, and then I had surgery for that broken elbow, and then I had to recover a little bit from that, so I had some friends fill in for me on the podcast while I was away. Thank you to Shira Moskowitz and to my dad, John Nissenblatt. Make sure to listen back in the episode feed to hear what they were up to. But we're back now to our regularly scheduled programming, which includes an interview each week with someone doing something swell in the podcast space. This week's interviewee is super cool. Maya Rose Craig has a Wikipedia page and an honorary doctorate, and she's not even 20 years old. Maya Rose, aka Bird Girl, is an ornithologist and campaigner for equal rights. She hosts a podcast called Get Birding. Stay tuned for our interview later in the show. As for our podcast recommendations, through Robert's podcast picks, we learn how to implement principles of conscious evolution into our lives. I'm going to turn to Google now for some help in explaining. Conscious evolution refers to the theoretical ability of human beings to be conscious participants in the evolution of their cultures or even of the entirety of human society based on a relatively recent combination of factors. These include increasing awareness of cultural and social patterns, collective reaction against perceived problems with existing patterns, injustices, inequities, and other factors. So to sum up, it seems like conscious evolution is all about being mindful about how we can do better and committing to that. Let's get to this week's podcast recommendations so that we can further understand conscious evolution. Robert chose the theme, Understanding Conscious Evolution. Why? He writes, conscious evolution is a fascinating new way of thinking about this extraordinary moment in the evolution of life on Earth. Here are this week's Earbuds episodes from Robert. The first episode comes from Robert's podcast. It's called Conscious Evolution, and the episode is called Conscious Evolution. We're really getting an explainer here. In this episode, Robert introduces us to the concept of conscious evolution. He goes into the undoing and unlearning of societal conditioning that conscious evolution requires. It's fascinating, and it envisions humanity's next evolutionary step. The next episode is from the podcast Future Thinkers and is called Daniel Schmachtenberger, The Existential Game. This podcast explores the evolution, technology, and consciousness of society, and is committed to helping people become better adapted to our future. In this episode, we hear from Daniel Schmachtenberger, a founding member of the Consilience Project, which aims to help catalyze a cultural movement toward higher quality sense-making. Schmachtenberger discusses designing post-capitalist systems to help contend with a world full of natural and human-caused existential risks. Next up, it's The Jim Rutt Show, and the episode is called Hansi Freinacht on Metamodernism. This week's theme is full of big words and big concepts. I'm learning a lot, and I think these podcasts will help you make more sense of all of these words and concepts as well. About this podcast, Hansi Freinacht is a political philosopher, historian, sociologist, and author. Lots of things. With host Jim Rutt, they explore what postmodern views are and how many postmodernists there might be. They also get into a myriad of interesting topics that I won't do justice to in explaining, like societal code, metamodern perspectives, and why spirituality is important. If these terms are remotely interesting to you, or you want to be able to understand them enough to definitively say that it's all too meta, listen to this episode. The next recommendation comes from the podcast Accidental Gods, and the episode is called Four Arrows Flying, Alnor Ladha, Activist and Visionary on Changing the Stories We Tell Ourselves. This podcast explores the liminal space between science and spirituality, philosophy and politics, and art and activism. In this episode, Alnor Ladha, a mystic, visionary, activist, and regenerative farmer, explores four ways to change the world through the power of storytelling, specifically the storytelling we do with ourselves. The last recommendation of this week's theme comes from the podcast Future Thinkers. Hello again. It's the second episode from that podcast for this week. The episode is called Rites of Passage for Cultural Evolution. In this episode, we meet Joe Brewer, executive director at the Center for Applied Cultural Evolution. Brewer is a complexity researcher, cognitive scientist, and evangelist for regenerative culture design. After all those long words, hard-to-grasp concepts, and many takes that I will be cutting through of me mispronouncing words, and you won't hear any of that, congrats for making it here, and a big thank you to Robert Cobald for choosing these podcasts. Again, this week's theme is Understanding Conscious Evolution. And we hope that after you listen to these episodes, we'll begin to understand conscious evolution. We'll have a link in the show notes of this episode to all of these podcast episodes and much more. In addition to our weekly five podcast picks, we also like to spotlight a podcast at the bottom of our newsletter. The idea is that even if you have no interest in the episodes that we mentioned above, you can still check out the Spotlit podcast for some more audio content from us. And podcasters, if you want to have your podcast spotlit in the newsletter and on the homepage of our website for a week, we have an application link in the show notes of this episode. This week, Bethany Berger from the Earbuds Advisory Board is spotlighting a podcast that she loves. We're checking out the podcast She's All Fat. Here's what Bethany says about this show. She's All Fat is a podcast about radical self-love and existing in the world while fat. They bring on a variety of guests to talk about fatness in the media, challenges in accessibility that fat people face, and the intersectionality between fatness and other marginalized identities. Listen to She's All Fat on any podcatcher. Thank you, Bethany. And now it's time for the interview portion of the show. Today I'm speaking with Maya Rose Craig, who I told you a bit about up at the top of the show. Let's get into our chat. Maya Rose Craig, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
The audience of Feedback with Earbuds is made up of podcast enthusiasts. And podcast enthusiasts, you know, they've got a whole bunch of interests aside from podcasts, but I want to give them a little intro into birding. You are obviously very big into birding. So if you could give a little bit of an overview on what birding is, why birding, and when you first got started for the folks who don't necessarily know the ins and outs of the practice.
Yeah, so you're right. I am a really big bird watcher, which is why I call myself Bird Girl online. Birds have always been a really big part of my life. So my parents are bird watchers. My older sister was a bird watcher. So by the time I was born, I was sort of born into a family of birders, and I've been going out forever. And so I guess I'm slightly biased. Like, I love birds. I think they're amazing. But I also think like bird watching is such an amazing hobby for people to take up, especially at the moment when we're dealing with, you know, the pandemic and lockdowns and things like that. And I think if you ask different people, they would give you different answers as to what bird watching is. Like, I think a lot of people think of someone with like a really expensive pair of binoculars and like a telescope, sort of, I don't know, hiking through the middle of nowhere on a search for birds. But I think, in my opinion, bird watching is literally just watching birds. Like, it doesn't have to be complicated. You don't even necessarily have to know what you're looking at. It's just sort of a type of enjoyment of nature. and it's so easy, and there's birds like literally everywhere, so it's also super easy to get into, and that's kind of why I think it's the perfect hobby for people to start at the moment.
So I live in New York City, and the birds that I see the most are pigeons. Does that count as bird watching?
Yeah, definitely. I actually, I'm quite a big fan of sort of the birds that most people like ignore or sort of don't think are worth their time. So in the UK, we have like LBJs, which are little brown jobs, which are sort of the small brown birds that everyone ignores because they're not very interesting. But I also really like pigeons. And I think that actually, if they weren't like everywhere in the cities, if you saw them like occasionally in a forest, people would think that they're really beautiful.
But, yeah, they're iridescent. Yeah. They have purple sheen.
I think that there are loads of birds that we overlook that are actually really nice looking. But also like New York's such a nice example of like urban birding, because obviously you've got so many amazing green spaces. Like I went there birding for like half a day once, and I think I saw like 3 or 4 new birds just wow. in Central Park. So there's always like amazing urban spaces for bird watching as well.
Is there a goal when it comes to bird watching, whether on the whole or for you personally? Well, I know you're the youngest person to see half the world's bird species. Is that right?
Yeah, that is right. And I think that kind of brings up the fact that bird watching definitely has like different purpose for like different people who do it. So I do know a lot of people, myself included, who are very into like listing and counting all the birds that they've seen and things like that for various different reasons. But I also know a lot of people who have no idea how many birds they've seen or what they're even looking at. They're just sort of enjoying watching birds fly around and enjoying watching nature. And I think it can totally be in the middle somewhere. But I guess really the goal of birding, in my mind at least, is just sort of like, not to be really corny, but like to sort of open you up and make people aware of the nature all around them. Because I think a lot of people I've talked to have said that it's once they've started birding and once they've started like really paying attention to nature that they've realized how much there is around them everywhere and how important actually that's been to them during lockdown when loads of the green spaces in cities have been locked up.
It actually seems like a really great mindfulness activity. Mm. I think one of the mindfulness activities that somebody told me about was to pick a color and try to spot that color everywhere on a nature walk. And it sounds like that could be a similar exercise to going out and looking for a bird, but not necessarily looking for any specific bird.
Mm. Yeah, like I've always said that I've always been terrible at like, I don't know, yoga and mindfulness and stuff like that. Like I just don't have the patience. But bird watching, I genuinely say like bird watching is my equivalent of that, because it is something that's like, I guess, separate from everyday life, where you're not thinking about everything you're stressed about and everything you have to do. And you are just outside sort of watching. And I suppose for me, it's like a complete contrast to like everyday life, which is really important for a lot of people.
So tell us about Get Birding, the podcast. When did you start it? Why did you start it? And then I have some questions about the formatting of the show. But first, let's get into Get Birding.
Yes, Get Birding's my podcast. And I was actually thinking about starting a podcast for quite a long time, just because it felt like, you know, birds are very like sound based animals. And like, it felt like the perfect way to talk about birds. I settled on like Get Birding just because I did feel, well, I knew a lot of people who had gotten very into birds and bird watching during lockdown as a new hobby, but either felt quite like intimidated or didn't know where to start or felt like they weren't, I suppose, good enough to call themselves a bird watcher. And so the title is really self-explanatory. It was just helping people get birding and to feel sort of, I guess, secure in something new and fun to do. And it's been really good fun, actually. It's been really good fun because I feel like I've really taken myself back to basics in terms of bird watching and in terms of like, I guess, nature in general. And that's been really nice for me on a personal level as well. But yeah, the podcast's done like, to be honest, much better than I expected in a really nice way. And I've managed to build like a really nice online community of people who've gotten birding because of the podcast. And like, I know it's really nice.
Yeah, I love the sound of the show. First of all, it sounds extremely crisp. All the interviews are really beautifully done. And then what I wanted to ask you about was the formatting of the show. It's not just your typical chat with somebody who is into birding. It's you talking about what's going on in the world of birding, then maybe an interview with somebody else who loves birding, and then you talk to somebody who's kind of related, maybe about accessibility to nature and things like that. What went into the formatting of the show? How did you decide to not just go straight up chat show?
There were a few different reasons, actually. I mean, firstly, I felt like I wanted it to be something that I'd enjoy listening to, even though I do know about birding. So there was like that aspect of it all where I didn't just want it to be like, 1, 2, 3, here's what you need to do today. But on the other side of things, I knew that I also didn't just want to talk to someone because that, again, personally isn't what I enjoy listening to. And so we came up with this almost like magazines type style of it where you have lots of different things going on. And again, on a personal level, that's been so fun because I've talked to so many people that I either didn't know existed, didn't know about the work that they were doing, or like just wouldn't have ever talked to them like in that way before. But also I think it's worked out really well in terms of the podcast, just because you've got loads of different things going on. And again, it's not getting like bogged down in the detail or the nuances or like expecting you to sort of enjoy this, I don't know, expert level chat about bird plumage or something. It is just me having like a chat with people about the things that I'm interested in, things that they're interested in. And I also wanted the podcast to be really topical each fortnight that people were listening. So I did sort of, well, we did put each episode around a theme. And I think my two favourites were probably the birdsong episode and the migration episode. Migration, just because I love the start of spring. I love it when all the birds start flying back. And I think, again, after a winter of lockdown in the UK, that it was very nice to be talking about spring coming back. So that was really good fun. And the birdsong episode was just fun for me because I admitted on the podcast I'm not as good at birdsong as I feel like I should be as someone who calls themselves bird girl on the internet. And so I ended up like for the first time in a really long time, like pushing myself to like try something new. And it was really fun, as well as like I said, birdsong obviously being the strongest part of birds in terms of like a podcast, you know, where you're listening.
Yeah, that actually brings me to my next question. Podcasting is completely reliant on sound, and birding to a certain extent, yes, there's a visual element, but I imagine a lot of birding has to do with what calls you here. So is that something that you considered when you started Get Birding, and how does it play into the show now?
Yeah, it was definitely something that I was thinking about in a few different ways. Like one of my favorite things about the episodes is just like as you listen, there's just birdsong in the background for like periods of time just when I'm talking. And I don't know, I just really enjoy that personally. Yeah. But the obvious thing is that we have a music segment in each episode, which I love. It's so interesting, like because I've not heard of most of these people that are our music guy, Jason Singh, who's really cool. He does bird beatboxing, like he makes like bird sounds in his music. It's so interesting. Yeah, so he's interviewing all these different people, and there are a few different reasons for that. Like I think the music aspect just seemed very new and very interesting for me because, like I said, I hadn't heard a lot of these people's music, but also it seemed really obvious in terms of the podcast format. But also it's just fun, it's a bit different, and it keeps up with the whole theme of Get Birding being quite lighthearted and fun instead of being like really serious and bogged down in its own knowledge, I guess. Mm-hmm.
I know you're very passionate about bringing birding to cities and nature to cities, and also to groups of folks who might not have the luxury of going out into nature. Is that something that you cover on the podcast? And if so, how do you tackle that?
So you're right. This is actually an issue that I care about a lot. I set up my charity, Black to Nature, about 6 years ago, and I do a lot of work to do with working with children of colour, mainly from like deprived backgrounds or living in urban areas. It's a really big issue, but it's a really big issue in the UK in particular, and it's totally tied up with like racism and classism. And it's just something I've been campaigning about for a long time, and it's not something that I felt like I could ignore or not mention during the podcast because it is so central to me and how I think about nature and engaging with nature and the outdoors. And again, because this was like a lockdown birding podcast, I definitely wanted to include people living in urban spaces who don't necessarily have a garden or don't necessarily have access to green spaces so that they could still, you know, engage with nature and the outdoors, because I think that it's such an important thing to do. So I've always tried to be inclusive in terms of the way that we talked about nature and the outdoors on the podcast, but I've also had a few different really interesting guests on the show talking about either different projects that they're running to get people out into nature for the first time, or even just talking about what engaging with nature is in the first place and what that actually means to young people living in urban spaces. Bird watching is just watching birds, and you can go about that in whatever way makes you happiest, really.
Yeah, and for podcasters and audiophiles, also listening to birds. So there's a really nice connection there.
Absolutely. There's so many amazing resources online and stuff, like for free, in terms of learning bird songs, or if you want to figure out what birds are in your area. Because I know a lot of people at the start of the very first lockdown, like nearly a year ago, were talking about suddenly how loud the birds were and how much they were noticing the birds singing, even in the middle of the city. And if people wanted to find out what those birds singing were, there's loads of resources online.
Well, let's zoom out a little bit. So the podcasting world, you jumped into it with Get Birding. What are some other podcasts that you enjoy listening to, whether they're about birding or not?
I'm not really a nature podcast person. I think just because I'm out in nature quite a lot. And I also wasn't a podcast person, particularly before the pandemic. But I've started cooking a lot and things like that, and like just spending a lot of time in the kitchen. And I always have like a podcast going in the background. And my favorite one is this BBC history podcast. It's so funny and it's so knowledgeable. And I've always been like quite nerdy about stuff like that. And it's called You're Dead to Me. It just always makes me laugh. So I've been listening to that like loads, like whenever I'm making dinner. Every episode is about a different famous or less well-known event in history, history or person. And they have like a historian and a comedian. And it's just meant for people who don't know anything about history. And it's like the perfect thing to have in the background. So I've been listening to that a lot.
So Maya Rose Craig, what are some upcoming projects that you've got going on in the podcast space, in the birding space? Maybe it's something going on with Black to Nature. What do you want to shout out and give some light to?
I think in terms of Black to Nature, we've got a really exciting summer ahead of us because we're going to be running loads of nature camps for loads of different kids. It's going to be really important after the year that we've had. And I'm really looking forward to like working with kids again. In terms of the podcast / audio world, I'm doing a series with BBC World Service in the summer, which I'm really excited about.
So cool.
All about birds, always. So that's really exciting, although I can't say much about that yet, unfortunately. I have a book coming out in September called We Have a Dream, which is about 30 different young environmental activists of colour and their stories, and just talking about them and what they do and giving a platform for their amazing work. And so that's coming out in a few months. And I'm really excited about that as well.
All really amazing stuff. Where can folks find you, follow you, and keep up with all things Bird Girl?
People can follow me on social media at BirdGirlUK, and you'll find all my social media.
Maya Rose, thank you so much for taking the time, and happy birding.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I listened back to that interview while I was editing, and wow, Maya is so unbelievably well-spoken and accomplished for anybody, not just somebody her age, but I'm incredibly lucky to have had the time to speak with her. So thank you, Maya, for chatting with me. And definitely make sure to check out Maya's podcast, Get Birding. Even if you're not interested in birds, you probably are more than you think. We'll, of course, be back next week with another podcast-related interview. So if you're looking for some inspiration, if you're a new podcaster, or if you're stuck in some way, you can check back in our episode archive. We have conversations with people like Shreya Sharma, who writes Inside Podcasting, Jay Connor from the podcast The Extraordinary Negroes. We've spoken to Amelia Chapolo, who is an amazing podcast producer, and it was recently announced that she'll be producing Seth Rogen's new podcast. And we have amazing interviews to come, so again, stay tuned. And with that, we're going to close up for the week. Thank you so much for tuning in to Feedback with Earbuds. Feedback with Earbuds is written by Maya Rubin and me, Arielle Nissenblatt. It's hosted by me. It's mixed and put together by Daniel Turek, whose work you can find at robotslack.com. and our newsletter is edited by the amazing Abby Kleonski. Until next week, stay safe and happy listening.